John 9, verses 13 to 25. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Well, we've reached the final part of Bless, our five-step approach for blessing the people that God has placed in our lives. And the final S of Bless stands for story, sharing our story. What are some of the most memorable stories that you've ever heard? Maybe there have been novels that you've read by the pool on holiday. Perhaps there's been a plot of a book or a film that has particularly resonated with you. I wonder, what was it that drew you into that story? Stories are provocative and powerful. Stories go far beyond just relaying facts and data. They bring emotion and colour and depth. Stories can be messy and complex because they're about people and places, not ideas and concepts. Stories allow people to connect with a message in a deep, meaningful way. And of course, stories don't need to be confined to fiction alone. In fact, we tell stories every single day. Stories will have been a big part already of your chapter one experience, as people have told the stories of how they've come to this place. In today's passage, the Pharisees are incensed that Jesus has healed a man born blind. They're intent on finding the answer, so they question the man, then the man's parents, and then the man again. And each time the parents and the man respond by just telling the Pharisees what Jesus has done. They're not interested in arguments about whether or not this man was a sinner. They simply tell their story. See, people can argue about doctrine, about where sin comes from, or about why there's suffering in the world. But it's difficult to argue with the story of a life transformed, particularly when that transformed life is standing right there in front of you. Many people think they don't have an exciting story to tell. And it's true that your story may not be as dramatic as the story of the man born blind, but it's authentic, it's real, and so it's powerful. Telling the story of the difference that Jesus has made to your life is the most effective way to share the salvation offered through Jesus. So what is your story? Where is God in it? What has he done in your life? When the opportunity comes, tell your story. As you pray today for the people on your blessed list, ask for the chance to love them, to serve them, and to share with them. And when the opportunity comes, just tell your story.